Blog Talk Radio. From the poison politics of Washington, D.C., and while trying to figure out how to finesse radical Islam, and coming to you from a small, rebuilt, remortgaged, and reconfigured single-wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell here. Good morning, 606. Thanks for tuning in so early with me. On the 14th of January, we're already through the halfway through the first month of 2015. Got a delightful show for you today, covering many things. But I really do. I don't want to miss out on this story that we're dealing with here for Representative Boehner and somebody trying to poison him, which I find very bizarre. But at the same time, you just have to realize that in a strange way, it's almost fitting. The politics of D.C. has become so poisonous, and I'm hoping we can find a way out of it. I got some local news. Of course, we've got to talk a little bit more about radical Islam. Now, Shahid has said that he's going to call in today at 7. I also have a call from a representative that's going to be coming up at around that time too, for maybe 5 minutes. So we'll get to that as well. I've got some kind of a strange slowdown on my computer here. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, let's get to some of the headlines here. I've got a picture of the puppy-eyed John Boehner kind of looking out. Who me? The who me look, you know? Plot to poison Boehner. Nothing worse than a poisonous Boehner. Now, the plot had to do with a guy. Apparently had met him. John Boehner is in, his family is in the libation business. They owned a bar when he was growing up. He's got a lot of stories about that. And so he apparently this guy waited on him. He's a bartender himself. And the guy didn't like the attitude of Boehner. And it was reported that the guy said he was either going to poison him or shoot him. Which he's going to give him the Rasputin treatment, I think. Rasputin was the advisor to the czars, and he had a mesmerizing control of the family, and apparently they tried a bunch of different ways to kill him, including poisoning, shooting, and drowning. I think he finally drowned, but he was around for a long time while they were trying to do this. So maybe this is our Rasputin. But seriously, I think it is kind of weirdly symbolic, this idea of poison politics. I really hope that we can take this next 2 years that the president is in office and use it to some purpose. And I've got a clip on the Boehner here.
Learning more this morning about a strange story closer to home. An Ohio man who's been indicted for threatening to kill House Speaker John Boehner. NBC's Pete Williams has the latest on this. Pete, good morning.
Savannah, good morning. U.S. Capitol Police say the man was a bartender at a country club. They say he talked about poisoning or even shooting the speaker for being responsible for the Ebola epidemic.
Investigators say the man tended bar at Wetherington Country Club in suburban Cincinnati, where Speaker John Boehner was a member. They say in late October, the man, Michael R. Hoyt of Cincinnati, told police that Boehner got him fired from his bartending job. Court documents say Hoyt told police that he was Jesus Christ and that Boehner was the devil and was also responsible for the Ebola outbreak. Investigators say Hoyt told them after he was fired, he heard voices on his car radio telling him that Speaker Boehner was evil. Police say Hoyt also told them he had a handgun at home, which they confiscated. And they say his mother was worried about him in late October and took an assault rifle from the house. Investigators say he emailed the speaker's wife, Debbie, that if he really wanted to hurt him, he could have poisoned his wine many times.
The authorities would like to get him off the streets. They'd also like to get him under a course of medication and a doctor's care again to help him get past these thoughts, these ideas of hurting someone.
In mid-December, a judge ordered Hoyt to undergo a 45-day psychiatric examination at a federal prison facility in Massachusetts.
No response from the lawyer appointed to represent him. If the government proceeds to trial, Hoyt would face a maximum sentence of 10 years if convicted. Boehner's office says only that he's grateful to the authorities for their efforts. Matt, Savannah.
All right, Pete. Williams in Washington, thank you.
Well, pretty exciting, huh? So the guy thought he was Jesus Christ. Interesting. And he thought John Boehner.
Volkswagen Golf was just named Motor Trend's 2015 Car of the Year.
Now, John Boehner seems like such a nice guy. Kind of a lovable head of the house. He cries on command. All right, I've got a little bit of news for your weather up north. Snow causes difficult driving conditions, winter fun for people across New Mexico. Well, it depends on how you define fun. Of course, a little subjective there, but this is from KOB, and I'll play that in a minute. In the meantime, Mississippi murder suspect wounded in New Mexico shootout. A man wanted in Mississippi for murder is hospitalized after a shootout with New Mexico authorities east of Lordsburg and state police said 23-year-old D. Juan Holloway, interesting name there, D. Juan Holloway remains in stable condition at Hot Texas Hospital. They said Gulfport police had issued a warrant for him to arrest him on capital murder and carjacking, and then state police officers with the New Mexico Motor Transportation Police, Lordsburg Police, and Hidalgo County Sheriff's deputies were involved in pursuing this character and on Interstate 10. And he shot up them during a shootout on the highway, and they were able to apparently hogtie him. Now, here's a little bit on the snow in New Mexico causing either havoc or fun, depending on your point of view.
Coming to New Mexico, and the weather definitely delivered today.
Check out these shots our crew got today around the metro. In areas like the west side of Albuquerque, Corrales, and Rio Rancho, there was plenty of it to go around this morning.
Meanwhile, lots of snow in the Four Corners caused some big problems in the Durango area, and that's part of our team coverage for you tonight.
But we're going to start in New Mexico with our Kai Porter, who's been checking out the snow hitting Santa Fe. And Kai, how is it looking up there tonight?
Hey there, Tom. Well, the snow is still holding off here at the rail yards, at least for now, but it was snowing on and off all afternoon. I want to show you what is left here on the ground. The sidewalk doesn't have much snow because most of it melted throughout the day. That's good news for drivers because if you look over here, that means the roads are clear. And while the roads aren't bad right now, it was a different story this morning. Take a look at the blanket of snow covering the foothills. Officials tell us there were at least 20 crashes reported around Santa Fe this morning. By mid-afternoon, though, snow had turned to slush on the main roads, making driving conditions a whole lot better. But listen to how some drivers described the mess this morning.
I was drifting, so yeah, it's pretty slippery. I saw 5 accidents on Airport Road this morning within a half hour. Just getting to the doctor's office was a challenge.
Well, anyway, it's more of the same. talking about the various places, Bernalillo County, Cuba, Dulce, Tierras Canyon, Socorro, Silver City, Lordsburg, et cetera. So there's, and this is yesterday. We'll have to get an update on the state this morning, but there was a lot of snow across the state. So we'll get an update on that for you. Now, for the officers charged with murder, just in case you're curious, this is what happens next. And they do have a judge for that murder trial, Lisa Hadfield. And probably from a family, knows a little bit about murder. Hadfields and McCoys. Let's check this out. What comes next for APD officers charged with murder from KOB?
State's burden in this matter is to prove more than likely that a crime was committed, and more than likely, the defendants committed the crime.
Prominent local defense attorney Ahmad Assad says that's the purpose of the preliminary hearing. It's where now retired police officer Keith Sandy and Albuquerque police officer Dominic Perez will find out if Judge Hadfield believes there's probable cause they committed murder in the shooting death of James Floyd.
Relatively speaking, it's a much lower standard to find probable cause and proceed thereafter at a trial where the state is obligated to meet a much larger standard, which is guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
If Judge Hadfield finds probable cause, the case will move forward. Assad says a preliminary hearing will be similar to a mini trial.
You have evidence that's going to be presented by way of witnesses. The defense counsel is going to be able to present witnesses and cross-examine witnesses.
The two cop cases are joined together, but the defendants have the option of asking to separate them. Assad says a preliminary hearing could have several outcomes.
Either a judge finds no probable cause as it relates to both defendants, or the judge could find probable cause as it relates to both, or could find probable cause for one of the defendants and not the other.
Assad believes the audio recording and lapel camera video of this shooting will play pivotal roles in this preliminary hearing. But perhaps even more important,
I think ultimately it's going to depend upon whether these two defendants decide to testify at this probable cause hearing. We'll be able to hear from them firsthand what they thought at the time and what they did and explain those particular actions.
Unlike a grand jury, this preliminary hearing will be open to the public.
Pretty interesting. It'd be worthwhile to go to that. Now, here is another shooting up in Albuquerque. Another person killed by the police. But let's take a little break here. Sunvolt out of the picture. We're listening to alt country this month and mixing it up here with a little Sunvolt, a very important alt country band. And Kelly O'Connell, it is 6:18 on KOBE. And today is the 14th of January. We'll be right back. Oh, and 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180 to text. And I've got a bunch of texts from yesterday I'm going to be reading you.
Quite sure you know where you're going, but sooner or later you're out of the picture. Too many lost names, too many rules to the game. Better find a focus or you're out.
Letting you go.
I knew that.
This is my Amerivest managed
stocks.
No, portfolio. So I'm confident I'm in good hands.
For all the confidence you need, TD Ameritrade. You got this.
Well, here's a look at our latest SuperTrack computer model. Notice the time stamp.
Good morning. It's Kelly. It is 6:23, and I've got some. I've got a couple of stories. I've got some local stories, and I've got a couple of stories that are statewide. And here is this APD officer shoots and kills man after foot pursuit in Albuquerque.
Hi, Ted.
It just seems to be so many. So
remember,
so many
when
shootings
your trunk
up
was
there, and I got a
smart enough to
I got a window I
open
got locked down here,
for you,
but. Seems to be so many shootings up there. I've never seen anything.
When only
like it, you know?
Your living room had HD.
In the meanwhile, I'm trying to get a hold of Dolores Connor. She's putting in a law. This is from the Sun News.
And a little
wet seeks law change.
There could ruin your plans.
Treasurer David Gutierrez.
Come on. Have I ever let you down?
I'm just
well,
curious
don't
why
that.
He doesn't resign. You know,
the all
ask a stupid
new
question.
Genesis.
I guess
H-track
all
wheels.
Doesn't even have
drive
a doing.
From Hyundai.
Anyway, here we go. APD officer shoots this guy. Check this out.
First, we just got new details moments ago on what is now being called a fatal police shooting in a quiet Albuquerque neighborhood.
And Ryan Luby is live near Constitution in San Mateo. Ryan, what did you learn?
Yeah, we just spoke with Deputy Chief Robert Huntsman literally about 5 minutes ago. I'll walk you through this. Bear with me here. He says this all started around 4:45 when someone in this neighborhood called police to report a suspicious group of people. An officer showed up, managed to detain one of them, but the other one ran. Now, while that officer was trying to find that guy, the guy found him and opened fire twice. The guy took off again. By that point, more officers showed up. The guy fired two more shots, and that's when officers shot and killed him. Now, you can see APD has a considerable presence out here, even at this hour, several hours after this all started. San Mateo, you can tell, is still closed between Constitution on the south and Aspen on the north. Well, tonight, families around here tell us and show us a much more graphic tale of what happened here, and including the man they say they saw dead right on the ground. Sometimes things really do hit close to home.
And I heard screeching tires, and I heard police sirens.
Patrick Dallas captured this amateur video on his Apple iTouch just 20 seconds after he says Albuquerque police opened fire on the man around 5:15.
He could have been alive longer than 2 or 3 seconds after they shot him.
Patrick watched and heard much of it unfold. Jordan Babnick did too.
Oh, just gunshots.
He heard a half dozen shots fired in just a matter of seconds. He said it sounded like they came from handguns, more than one type.
There was, distinctly two separate guns.
Early on, police said very little.
We can confirm that we have had an officer-involved shooting.
But ask anyone who lives around here. They'll tell you this was a tough way to end the day, regardless of the circumstances.
I don't know who shot who or what happened, but obviously somebody lost their life over it.
People like Patrick agree this did hit too close to home, but says it no longer comes as a surprise.
I'm actually not that shocked. I mean, obviously, I didn't think anything like that was going to happen tonight, you know, so it's not like it happens. And, New Mexico's been in the news a lot.
Well, just to recap once again, APD shot and killed a man who was considered suspicious in this neighborhood by people who live around here. That man had opened fire on them, it sounds like, about four times. They took him down after he tried to take off.
All right. So, it just begs the question. How is the training up there, you know? And obviously we're not nearly as large as they are, but it just doesn't seem like we have the level of violence. Now, I've had people pull me aside who've heard the show and said, you know, it's apples and oranges. It's so much more dangerous up there, and you've got so much more of a criminal element. So I guess I'll just have to take their opinion for it. But anyway, here is some storm tracker weather from KVIA. To update you on the weather.
Well, here's a look at our latest PeakaTrack computer model. Notice the timestamp here at 5 o'clock in the morning. And look at the model showing some of that snow up in portions of Grant County, Sierra County, maybe right around Tier C. In fact, winter weather advisories out for this area where they could pick up maybe several inches of snowfall. You see how that snow continues to linger all the way into the lunch hour. Then as we start to gradually warm up, we start seeing maybe a little bit of sleet, a little bit more rain expected up there. Then as we head throughout the afternoon into the evening, here's a look at 7 o'clock, you can see how the model wants to produce a little bit of light rain. Temperatures will be warm enough.
where we'll be mainly rain, maybe portions of the lower valley. That extends into Hudspeth County. Then we begin to clear the skies by really Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Thursday right now looks like a pretty nice day. Mainly sunny skies, and temperatures should actually climb into the 50s on Thursday. So that will be nice. And the clouds start to build back in here once we head into Friday, although temperatures should stay in the 50s. How much rain are we talking about? Now, as we run the model here with rainfall, you can see by lunchtime on Wednesday, you can see some of the numbers start to go up a little bit, maybe right around T or C, where they could also see some snow, mainly in the morning hours when temperatures are expected to be cold enough. And then by Thursday morning, again, all this begins to exit the area. Our chance of rain right here at about 10%, a little bit later in the day. On our Wednesday, the rest of the week, we're looking pretty nice. Your 7-day wind gusts could maybe hit right around 25 in the breezy category on Wednesday. Then the rest of the week, including the weekend right now, looks fairly nice at about 10 to 15. How much snow are we talking about? Model indicating, again, at least of all our reporting stations, zero. But again, you could track where we could see some accumulating snow on the ground. Over the next several days, again, a little bit breezy. Low and south, the temperatures will warm up. There's your Friday. Partly sunny the weekend. Temperatures climb into the 60s into early next week.
All right, and that's your weather for you. Okay, so we've got this local story. I just tried to call her, Dolores Connor. This first I've heard of it. Former Las Cruces city councilor has asked Dona Ana County commissioners Tuesday to back a proposed law change that could lay the groundwork for removing county treasurer. And they were saying that they had serious concerns that he has not resigned since last August after admitting that he offered $1,000 to have sex with another employee. And they did censure Gutierrez, gave him a formal reprimand, and called on him to step down, but they've stated they can't do anything legally. And Connor said, we're now 4 months past that date when you voted, but Mr. Gutierrez continues to hold his elected position. And she made it during the public session. So I would think that there would be a lot of support for this, and I'll see if I can get her to come on the show in the next day or two, or at least call in. Now, there's a petition drive for Santa Teresa to be incorporated, and they say they need 200 verified signatures, and more than 800 have been collected. And Mary Gonzalez, who's the petition drive organizer, said at this point, we've got 825 signatures. And she says, we've got these documents, but we've got to have to present them to the county. We have until February 4th to present our petitions. And the incorporation efforts began about 6 months ago, after some members of Sunland Park City Council suggested that the city consider annexing Santa Teresa. And the drive was started in December by residents living at the former Santa Teresa Country Club, who are believe that Sunland Park cannot provide them with municipal services. Santa Teresa is an unincorporated area of Dona Ana County, and there have been attempts going back to the 1990s, the late 1990s, to incorporate, but those never paid off. And Jane Crouch, who's a Santa Teresa Country Club resident, says we want no part of Sunland Park. They've shown they're not capable of managing their own government properly. What makes them think they will do any better with us? We weren't fooled when they came calling years ago, and we're not fooled now. And Sunland Park Mayor Javier Perea said city officials have only been exploiting the possibilities of annexation. And he says, quote, any efforts in regard to annexation would have to be carefully examined and discussed at length before a decision is made. But Sunland Park will continue to explore any and all possibilities. And anyway, I'll keep you posted on that. And let's take a little break here. I've got some Scott Wood, listening to Scott Wood this week, stand-up Bananas in Kung Fu.
I love those old martial arts movies, man, those kung fu karate movies. You ever seen those old, before the lips never match the actor? They're like the worst dubbed movies ever. They always look like this, don't they? Coming up next on Kung Fu Master. Shoo.
Maybe a little verbal comedy or visual comedy there. But let's take a break, and we'll be back. 6:33 Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text, and we'll be right back.
I grew up in an all-black neighborhood. I went to an all-Mexican high school. Okay, all right. Went to an all-white church, praise the Lord. And I shopped at a lot of Asian stores. Had a lot of liquor stores in my neighborhood. I'm glad I was raised the way I was raised, man. I got a chance to interact with a lot of different types of people, and I think that's cool, man. I think diversity is what makes this country great. You know, my high school that I went to was 98% Mexican. Yeah, all right. That's cool. All right. I'm glad you guys are happy about that.
That's Kelly here. Good morning, 6:34. And got some stories for you. Let me read some headlines for you here. Jewish, and this is from the Drudge, Jewish-owned D.C. businesses targeted by self-described ISIS militants, threatening phone calls, vows to carry out mass murder. ISIS launches social media campaign to capitalize on Paris attacks. And, all right, so that's there. And then there's a toxic leak inside the U.S. space station. Hopefully not related to the John Boehner poisoning, but it's been evacuated or is being evacuated. And they're starting the presidential, getting ready for the presidential race. Mitt Romney's interested. He's leading the Iowa poll. He will attend the RNC meeting. Chris Christie, a slim down Chris Christie, is going to announce his presidential PAC, political action campaign. And he said, what's happened to our country? Rand Paul gets ready. Huh, Rand Paul, what do you think of him? It's time for some fresh blood. That sounds like the words of a vampire, but John Thune, no opening for a White House run. Government borrowing costs tumble as who knows why. I'll have to tell you about that in a minute. I'll look into that for you. Paper, yes, Fed has enormous power over who is president. Food stamp use is climbing. Beneficiaries exceed 46 million. For 38 straight months, British expatriates flee USA healthcare system. Fly home for treatment. High cost bureaucracy are a pain in the arse or rear end. Confusion. Eligible Americans turn down tax credits. Majority of British Jews feel they have no future in the UK. Jimmy Carter. Jews safer in France than Israel. Jimmy Carter is lost his nut, hasn't he? Pelosi to name first Muslim lawmaker to House Intelligence Committee. And that is Ellison, is I believe. Homeland may avoid terrorist storyline next season. All right, so those are some of your headlines there. All right, got some stuff I've been wanting to bring up, but it's almost as if events have conspired against me. But I had mentioned to you, well, let me get to this in a second. Let me go over just a little bit of immigration news here, and I think I had mentioned some of this, but catch and release, and this is from Breitbart, leaks highlight teardown of immigration enforcement, and so leaked internal training documents from U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Latte or Olé? Cozy?
Reveal Border cool,
exactly
Patrol agents
it, until boom, it's bedtime.
Are your now receiving guidelines instructing them that the vast majority, the vast majority of illegal immigrants in the U.S. are off limits to federal agents and are substantially immune to detention and deportation. A trusted federal agent in the CBP provided exclusive copies of the documents to Breitbart, Texas, and also agreed to an interview on the conditions of anonymity. According to the source, these training documents were required training for U.S. Border Patrol agents. And I've got a little clip for you here. Just a second. And like I say, this is from Breitbart here. So their videos are a little
leaked
bit
internal longer. Training documents from U.S. Customs and
for you.
Leaked internal training documents from U.S. Customs and Border Protection reveal Border Patrol agents are now receiving guidelines instructing them that the vast majority of illegal immigrants in the U.S. are off limits to federal agents and are substantially immune to detention and deportation. The documents outline three categories that illegal immigrants are now grouped into: priority 1, 2, and 3. The majority of other illegal aliens cannot be detained or deported without specific approval from leadership.
All right, that's a brief, just kind of a description. But all right, so what are the three categories of people who are detained illegally here, illegal immigrants? Priority 1, 2, and 3. Priority 1 includes aliens, quote, who pose a threat to national security, border security, or public safety. Priority 2 includes aliens who are, quote, misdemeanants, so they're charged with a misdemeanor and new immigration violators. Priority 3 includes all other illegal aliens and describes them as, quote, other immigration violators. The leaked training documents are careful to note that no part of this training should be construed as discouraging arrests. So, and it's based on November 20th, 2014, memo on prosecutorial discretion from Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson. And so most of these people are not going to be going back. And there's a quote here: nothing says don't arrest, but it clearly says don't waste your time, because the aliens will not be put into detention, sent back, or deported. There's literally no reason to arrest an illegal alien, because they are specifically telling Border Patrol there will be no consequences for the illegal alien. It is a waste of time and resources to arrest someone who is off limits for detainment or deportation, and the documents make that fact clear. Border Patrol agents are now being trained to be social workers, not law enforcement. Okay, here is from the memo from Jay Johnson, Policies for the Apprehension, Detention, Removal of Undocumented Immigration. Here's the quote: in the immigration context, prosecutorial discretion should apply not only to the decision to issue, serve, file, or cancel a notice to appear, but also a broad range of other discretionary enforcement decisions, including deciding whom to stop, question, and arrest, whom to detain or release, whether to settle, dismiss, appeal, or join in a motion on a case, and whether to grant deferred action, parole, or a stay of removal instead of pursuing removal in a case. While DHS may exercise prosecutorial discretion at any stage of an enforcement proceeding, it is generally preferable to exercise such discretion as early in the case or proceeding as possible in order to preserve government resources that would otherwise be expended in pursuing enforcement and removal of higher priority cases. Thus, DHS personnel pursuing enforcement and removal of higher priority cases, pardon me. Well, anyway. All right, so that's it. I mean, they're not going to be, the vast majority of people are not going to be deported. And here's another story from My Way News, apnews.myway.com. Migrants dreaming of Europe have their pick of social media sites that work like an online travel agent, advertising fares and offering tips on secure payments. Meanwhile, the traffickers who send them across the Mediterranean are buying scrap yard cargo ships over the internet. That's what they claim is the picture of an increasingly sophisticated business in migrant smuggling. So in the midst of this, you have, of course, the issue of radical Islam and the number of people that are coming in is extraordinary. The number of Muslims has been extraordinary in Europe, and now it's being ramped up here. Now, let me ask you this. If the president recognizes the danger of radical Islam, why are we ramping up the numbers of imported Muslims? I'll ask you that. All right. I do have actually for you here a guy that I was listening to last night by the name of Paul Rubin, who's a very funny African-American comedian. Check this guy out. This is called Self-Diagnosis.
Love my job, man. This is one of the best jobs in the world. You know, one thing people don't realize about this job, though, there's no benefits. You know, no medical.
That's not funny. Why would you laugh at that?
Black guy has no insurance. I have plenty of insurance. I'm going to trip myself on the way out. Being back in an ambulance. Can't do this, huh, colored guy? Go around the corner, play the siren. Me personally, I think healthcare should be free for all Americans. That's just my opinion. Yeah. And for you guys who didn't clap, that means you can't relate. Let me tell you something. It's messed up when you're too broke to go to the doctors. You know you should be at the doctors, but instead you in CVS at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to diagnose yourself. You be walking in like, oh, my kidneys are messed up. I better get me some NyQuil. You heard NyQuil is good for bad kidneys. I'm going to get some Tums for this tumor I got, too. You know, Tums is in the word tumors. Thank you, six people who got that.
All right, we'll be right back.
Well, but I was wondering if you wanted to call into the show and just briefly describe your drive to get through the terms.
Oh, okay. Do you want to come on the show before that? Interesting. Okay, let's do it Friday. What's a good time for it?
How about 7? Well, it's the radio station. It's, you do remember? Yes. We haven't moved. No, I understand. We're not trying to escape creditors here, so. Okay, Dolores, thank you so much. Okay.
Okay, Kelly here. It's 6:49, and thanks for tuning in. If you just turned on the old radio, you know, a lot of people don't have radios. Isn't that shocking? You know, I think there should be a law that everyone should have a radio. That would be fair, wouldn't it? We have a lot of stupid laws out there. That would be a great law to have. I'm not self-interested at all. Today is the 14th of January, and I just got off the phone with Dolores Connor, and she's going to be coming on Friday, and we're going to discuss why David Gutierrez has not been removed and what it's going to take. So she's going to come on 7, so put that into your schedule to listen to that. Now, I've had this story here that I wanted to tell you about that I thought was kind of interesting. You know, I've had a lot of weird news that I couldn't really try to get. I'll try to get that in the next hour. But we've got, in theory, we have Shahid calling up. Now, I've got this article from Franklin Graham, America's Culture of Death Stems from a Sinless, Godless Worldview that Rejects Christ. And I pretty much agree with what he's saying, which is let me read the opening paragraph. It'll give you the information on it, his statements. Reverend Franklin Graham, who's the son of probably America's most famous preacher, Billy Graham, says America is increasingly embracing, quote, a culture of death that echoes what has occurred in Europe and which stems from a sinful, godless worldview that rejects Christ. Now, he says that Christianity is constantly under siege from the halls of government and education, which seeks to suppress any public expression of faith. And I talked a long time ago on the show about what is called civil religion, and I'd written some articles on it, or at least one. I'm trying to remember if I wrote more than one on it, but it was kind of an interesting topic. The civil religion is what is expressed in public, what is accepted, what might even be stated in within government settings or whatever, for example, on the dollar, in God we trust, part of our civil religion. And the civil religion is increasingly becoming anti-Christian, in my opinion. But in any event, he says, in places like Europe where Christianity has been in decline as the deceptive forces of secularism and materialism have spread across the continent, it's not surprising to find practice of euthanasia to be entrenched. And he's quoted out of Decision magazine. Earlier this year, Belgium became the first country in the world to allow child euthanasia with no age limit. And he says he's concerned that America is not far behind. If I'm not mistaken, Belgium allows parents to kill their children without input of the children and to have them euthanized. And I'll have to follow up on that with some little bit of research. But as I recall, when I was reading about it before, and it really took me aback because, you know, it's this type of thing that you would never even associate a parent wanting to kill a child. But and they would, you know, in cases where the child might be terminally ill or have a dreadful disease, they would say, well, the parent has a right to decide that the child shouldn't be living anymore. And he mentions Death with Dignity movement, which is the right to kill yourself, the assisted suicide. And he mentions that for every 1,000 live births in the United States, 219 pregnancies end with a murdered child through abortion, according to him. And he says, I don't think there's any doubt that this rise in the culture of death in our own country coincides with the embrace of an immoral, sinful, godless worldview that rejects Christ. And see what else he said here. And he points out that the Walking Dead is more popular than the NFL. And I've been watching a lot of Walking Dead recently, and I just had a different take on this. 523-1450, if you want to call in. But I think the Walking Dead is a fascinating kind of examination of society at its most basic level, and people, if they're reduced to their most primitive surroundings, what they would resort to. It's It's very interesting. And but I see his point. You know, it is oriented towards death. I had associated before zombies with radical Islam. And so I see both a zombie as a kind of a dead person who's pre-programmed to go kill human beings. And a zombie doesn't really have a life force or a will to survive. I mean, they're trying to eat. It's very primitive, but kind of reminded me of these people that are going around killing others, these Muslim terrorists. They don't care if they're killed. As a matter of fact, most of them, you know, put into the equation that they're going to die and they're going to go to heaven. They're going to support the movement. And it kind of reminds me of zombies, this unthinking adherence to these beliefs that cannot be challenged. And there's something, you know, this is obviously at some level a romantic, a very ghastly but romantic movement in which these people are in a society, in a world that seems to discount in many ways, exactly like Reverend Graham is saying here, discounts not only faith, but deep commitment. You think about this. We never talk about lifelong love anymore. We don't talk about romantic love. What has taken the place of romantic love is kind of this free agency thing where people get together for as long as it lasts, and when it's over, they break up and they find somebody new. And most conversations about romance these days involve sex. So this kind of idea of this incorporeal, this, you know, romantic, I'm going to find that person that I was meant to be with and stay with them forever no matter what, that idea has faded to a great degree from society. And so, I mean, there in so many different ways, I would argue that people don't feel like they're living for anything, that they've got any great theme in their life. The Christian church, as it is now, I think strongly mirrors the society, and people living for their faith, living and being willing to die, it's not talked about. And so I think that Franklin Graham is on to something. And how can you disagree with it? We're in a culture right now that is lost, and we're searching for our identity, and we've got a political system that's pushing us in one direction. We've got a materialistic, you know, kind of consumer oriented society that's highly involved in trying to imprint on us this stuff. And then you've got these movements like radical Islam that are saying your life means something, committed to Islam, you know, make this a total commitment. And I think they're even though it is totally wrong and evil, at some level, there is an attractiveness to saying that you can give everything for what you believe and it'll make a difference. And, you know, what I think that they need to do is get into these communities that are overseas, and they need to get rid of the socialism, the Marxism, the religious training, and they need to bring in liberty and freedom, capitalism, so these people have something other than this idea that they're going to go, you know, sacrifice everything for Allah and kill a bunch of people. You know, it's a very, very sad view of society. We've got to try to do something to challenge these people. We can't really do it in their home countries as well as we can do it over here. It's a conundrum. We'll be talking about it in the next hour. Kelly O'Connell, here's a little more Sunvolt. 523-1450 to call in. I will get to your text in the next hour, 6:59, and we'll be right back after the break on the hour. Kelly O'Connell Show, and Shahid is supposed to call in, so we'll see.
Sure, somewhere along the way, the clock runs out. Somewhere along the way, it all stands still. Firemen say the millionaire's mansion another room. You made me love.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. It's Emily at the GOP House Caucus.
Hello, it's Kelly.
Hi, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah, this is Kelly.
Hi, this is Emily with the GOP House Caucus. Are you ready for the representative?
Yeah, sure.
Great. And then I just wanted to remind you again, he has a really tight schedule this morning, so it's probably like 5 or 10 minutes again.
I have a full show, so I'm not a...
Okay, perfect. Great. And I'll connect him. Just give me 1 minute.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was having a little bit of a problem connecting him. Hey, I have the representative.
Fantastic.
Are you both there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm here.
Great.
Thank you. Representative.
Yes.
Kelly O'Connell, how you doing?
Oh, I'm not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So the show starts in about 1 minute. You ready to rock and roll?
Sure.
So you graduated from Notre Dame, huh?
That's correct.
Interesting. Are you a football fan?
Oh, yes.
So how are they going to do next year?
Yeah, I think our previously first-string quarterback is transferring, but nothing's official yet. But, yeah, it was a very frustrating season as a Notre Dame football fan.
Well, being a graduate from the University of Oregon, I feel your pain.
Oh, okay. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, so I was rooting for Ohio State for that game, too.
Of course. All right, we're just about to go on here, so.
Great.
And AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
Good morning, folks. 7:06. Kelly O'Connell here on the 14th of January. And I've got with me on the line, Representative Conrad James from the New Mexico State House and District 24. And so welcome to the show, Conrad James, Representative James. And how you doing today?
Thank you very much, Kelly. I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. You were out of the House, and now you're back into the House. So congratulations on getting back in. You've got something that you're working on here, and it is has to do with the baby Brianna legislation. But why don't you give folks just a little background? We were talking about your background before we came on the air.
So I'm a graduate of the University of Notre Dame in electrical engineering, and went to graduate school for applied physics, and came out to Sandia National Labs to work in microsystems research about 12 years ago, and eventually decided that I wanted to be more involved in public discourse and public service, and decided to run for the State House, and here I am today.
Well, congratulations. It's one heck of a resume.
Thank
now,
you.
People are wondering, are there a lot of nerds at the Sandia Labs?
Well, I wouldn't say they're nerds. I say that we have very smart but also very well-rounded people who have lots of other extracurricular activities.
No pocket protectors and that type of thing?
Absolutely not.
All right. That's good to know. Okay, so you're working on something from the baby Brianna legislation. How did you find that to start working on? What drew you to it?
Well, this has been a big issue for a number of years now. The current way that the bill works is that life imprisonment is an option for anyone who abuses a child that leads to that child's death if the victim is under 12. And so what we want to do with this modification this year is to expand that to children of all ages under the age of 18. And so this has been something that's been on the radar of many state legislators as well as Governor Martinez for a number of years.
Yeah, that is it is pretty interesting. And what has been the response so far of the people that you've talked to about this?
I think most people I've talked to are supportive. We all understand that we need to protect our children and that there really shouldn't be age limitations in terms of how we protect our children. All children are vulnerable at that stage. And so I think that a lot of people are very supportive. The community is very supportive. I've already received a couple of emails in support of this legislation. So I'm really encouraged that we'll have a lot of community as well as legislative support.
And what have you talked to the governor about this? I'm sure that she must be interested.
To a little bit, and she's very much gung-ho about getting this bill through. We think we've got a really good shot. Obviously, it usually takes a couple of times for bills to get through, and since this has already been through at least some committee vetting, I think that we'll have a pretty good path for it.
All right, and what other topics are you interested in? And let me ask you this first. If people want to know more about what you're trying to do, how can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me through my website. My email is conradjames4hd24@gmail.com. Also has my cell phone number on there, 505-453-2755. So as a citizen legislator, we are very accessible to the public. I've been focusing a lot on good bills that will help our economy. So in addition to public safety, I'm very much concerned about making sure that our state is competitive when it comes to business climate and things of that nature.
I was actually going to ask you about that because I figured you must have an opinion, being that you're in the GOP and also that you've obviously worked out in you've been working at Sandia. You must have some thoughts on what we could do to make us more competitive in business-wise.
Well, I think that obviously the tax code is a major issue. I think some of the bills that were passed the last 2 years or so to reduce the corporate income tax were a very good start. Also, the single sales factor option for manufacturing is another very good idea that I think helps make us more competitive, especially in the area of manufacturing, which has a very cyclical business cycle up and down. And it's very difficult to try to get those jobs here because there's a certain amount of infrastructure that's needed, lots of training for workers. And so trying to make our state more conducive for manufacturing is something that I think is very important. So I was very pleased to see some of those bills pass the last 2 years or so.
And you've been talking with your House brothers and sisters about this as well?
Absolutely. I think everyone agrees that our tax code is very complicated and difficult to deal with. In my campaign, I talked to a number of constituents that have had a lot of issues just in terms of figuring out what it is they're actually supposed to do in terms of their grocery receipts tax, trying to figure out the law and make sure that they're in compliance. And so I think everyone agrees that we need to better simplify our tax code and make sure that people have the ability to follow it and understand it.
Right. Okay. And how about some ideas for getting more high-tech jobs outside of, say, Sandia?
Well, I think that some of the work that we've done in shoring up the JTIP program, which is a training program where we provide support to high-tech businesses to help train workers for those jobs, I think that's one thing that's really important to continue to facilitate those types of programs. And we also need to have education reform, making sure that kids are reading at the appropriate age before we pass them on to the next grade. I mean, education is something that is sort of a continuum. You need to start early to make sure that kids are staying up in terms of where they should be. And so education reform, I think, is another really big issue that we need to focus on.
Absolutely. Any other ideas to get these 160,000 jobs that we need in the next 10 years?
Well, I think that we've been having a statewide conversation about that. The Graduate New Mexico effort is a sort of a consortium of higher education institutions as well as private sector employers to try to make sure that we have students who are graduating with the correct skills for those jobs. And so I think, again, it's a continuum. We need to make sure that our education system is up to par, both at the K to 12 and also at the higher education level. And I think that it's really on people's radar right now, and so I'm really encouraged that we'll be able to do some good things.
All right, and one last question. I know you got to run, but what is it like to have a majority House now?
Well, I think everyone's a little bit scared, but a little bit excited. And I think the appropriate mix of those two emotions will lead us in a good direction. So I'm just really encouraged with Speaker-elect Don Tripp. He's really a good man. He's a great representative. I had a good rapport with him the 2 years that I was in. And so I'm really encouraged that we've got our priorities straight. We're focusing on making sure that we can move this state forward.
And the Senate, do they seem like they're willing to play ball a little bit?
Absolutely. I think that the Senate, as most people know, is a little bit more temperate in terms of how they handle things. The House is sort of the hot and heavy side. So I'm really encouraged that we develop good relationships with senators on both sides of the aisle in the Senate who really just want to do what's best for our state.
Absolutely. Did you have anything else you wanted to pass on to the listeners?
I just would encourage everyone to stay involved in the legislative process. This is going to be a really interesting 60-day session. The governor has some very, very strong ideas and good ideas on moving the state forward. And we really want to hear from the public and make sure that we're listening to the public and doing what we should be doing.
Very nice. Well, I appreciate your work on behalf of children. And please consider giving us a call back if anything else comes up.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative James, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, folks, let's take a, let's see here, a little, got a little more Sun Volt for you here. A song called Route. Kelly O'Connell, 715-523-1450 to call in. Shahid, if you're listening, call in here. And folks, we'll be right back, with or without Shahid. Mm-hmm. It is 7:20. Kelly O'Connell here, AM 1450. And we have no call-in from Shahid yet. He is perhaps overslept. So anyway, we're got here a continuing discussion on Islam. But let me read you a few of the headlines here. Newspaper, Ukraine now run by rogues, sexpots, and warlords. White House rejects radical Islam label for terrorists. Muslim coffee shop boss faces death threats for Je suis Charlie sign. Magazine America following Europe's dangerous path on Muslim immigration. I mentioned that earlier. Coast Guard, Cuba deal sparks surge. A surge in illegals trying to come over from Cuba. Rubio bill allows companies to hire unlimited number of foreign workers. Obama pushes aggressive timetable for amnesty implementation. High-stakes showdown with Congress. And a guy that was recently returned from West Africa was found dead in his yard. It could be Ebola. A soldier. The Pope is exhausted. Archbishop says church faces urgent struggle to fill pews. Jailed lawmaker wins re-election. Robots to greet customers at Japanese bank, which is the first in the world. Chinese restaurant promises free food to the beautiful. Senate to vote on whether climate change is happening. Is climate change happening? Let's vote on it. And a cyclist was hit by a truck and then robbed while lying unconscious on the ground. The IRS warns of slower tax refunds, more identity theft risks, and is holding a Tea Party application and put it aside, or is holding it, analyzing it for 5 years. Here's a rage attack. Wife cuts off husband's penis twice. Well, we'll have to do a little bit of weird news later. Virginia's 74th state district reelected Joe Morrissey to the House of Delegates in a special election on Tuesday. He celebrated his victory from a jail cell. He was convicted of having a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old employee at his law office. Morrissey, a Democrat who ran as an independent, received more than 42% of the vote. So they may decide to kick him out, but it hasn't happened for centuries. All right, so let's talk about this a little bit. The White House is refusing to use the radical Islam label for terrorists. Why is that? Well, I think we all know why. So the question is it going to work out for us? Is it in our favor to avoid radical Islam? 523-1450. Let me put it like this to you. What if it was the president's kind of brilliant plan that by not ever calling Muslims radicals, the people that attack in Europe and so many other places, do you think that it would be in our best interest? Do you think it will work out to be a kind of a and the question being basically, by trying to avoid hurting these people's feelings, are we doing ourselves any favors? Now, that could be why the president didn't go to Paris and ultimately decided to, just not do, not show up and to have a very low-level person be the individual who represents us, and not really any representation there for the United States. So is that how it happened? Is that how it came out? That they want to keep us from getting attacked by refusing to criticize them. Now, you could argue that the Muslims are very, very sensitive to being criticized, so maybe it's a brilliant plan. On the other hand, Obama seems to have a different view of Islam from the whole rest of the country or the vast majority because, for instance, he's always been very deferential to Islam. And in addition to that, when things have like this have come up, he hasn't really said anything. So I just kind of wonder, you know, what's on his mind. But here's something from the former Archbishop of England, Archbishop of the Anglican Church, Kerry, who was in times past criticized for being a very weak person. But he says, and this is according to the Daily Mail, fear of criticizing Islam has given Britain self-imposed blasphemy law, warns former Archbishop Kerry. And this came out on the 11th, so this is just 3 days old. He, former Archbishop of Canterbury, says Britain fears criticizing Islam, and it's a self-imposed blasphemy law. And he says that the press should be encouraged to print controversial material. Muslims are more offended by violence in the name of Islam, Kerry said. Comments days after Charlie Hebdo attack. And so what do you think about that? Are we applying for ourselves a self-imposed blasphemy law? Is the president? And you recall the other day that Courtney had called up and said that we need to be more sensitive with how we approach this stuff. And so maybe do you believe that the president is right to totally avoid this? I mean, I think that Joe Scarborough said that he thought it was an unforced error and a very stupid thing, and I would have a tendency to agree with that. I mean, it seems to me that these are a group of people that if you project weakness, they're only going to jump on it. So that's my theory. And we've got the strongest military in the world, which may not have helped make good decisions with Iraq and Afghanistan. You can argue that they were misused there. On the alternative, you know, maybe you feel like it's exactly where we needed to be. But we've got the world's strongest military. Why are we shrinking back from these individuals, from these people, from these countries, where if we really wanted to, we could, you know, take them out at the knees pretty quick. I'm not saying to do another Afghanistan or Iraq. Now, I got a clip here from Chris Matthews, who is usually pretty far to the left.
Is the free world free from fear? What's my hardball? Good evening. I'm Chris Matthews in Washington. Tonight, the eyes of America remain on far-off France with the fear that it's not so far off after all. A decade ago, under W, we were told to mock that proud and fine country for its opposition to the Iraq War. We were told, like nitwits, to call our French fries freedom fries, as if that would make the French wrong and us right about the war. Well, it didn't work out that way, did it? I mean, in Iraq, that war W and Cheney, the neocons, lured us into it. Turned out to be just the latest example of that old maxim. If the French think we're wrong, as they did before when we went whole hog into Vietnam, the smart thing is for us to think again. And now everything has shifted again with our stars in Hollywood, the smart ones at least, standing with the millions in the streets of Paris. And our leaders? Well, here's a good question. Wouldn't it have been great to pick up the newspaper today and see an American on the front line of that huge rally for freedom on the streets of Paris? Wouldn't it have been downright exciting to see the leader of the free world out there actually leading the free world? But I don't know. Maybe there were good security reasons for neither the president or the vice president to go. But what about John Kerry? He's our foreign minister, and he speaks French. Is this just another example of the White House needing someone, I mean a real chief of staff, to walk into the Oval Office and tell the president, boss, you got to go. This is bigger than you think. NBC's chief foreign affairs correspondent Richard Engel is in Paris.
That's a very long clip, and we'll just nip it in the bud there. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious that we can't let – and here's what I would say to the Courtneys, the people who have the opinion of Courtney, that we've just got to be very careful. And I do agree with one thing that she said. Courtney said a couple of things, some of which I disagree with, but I think that she had a point that you cannot discount. If you're going to do something, be aware of the consequences. And so if we are going to print up these cartoons, if we are going to allow criticism, if the president criticizes Islam, we've got to be willing to deal with the consequences. Now, what I don't understand is this sense that we've got to always be on the defensive. I mean, we brought liberty into the world. Folks, think about it. We brought modern liberty, the modern idea of liberty, and so many other ideas. And how do you define liberty? Well, we say it's a freedom of speech, right? I mean, the quintessential right there, freedom of religion, another quintessential right, freedom to own property, and all the other freedoms. What are we doing apologizing for that? Do we really want to go back in the direction of the caves, these Muslim caves that you know, it kind of symbolizes in my mind, are we going to go back and live in caves to please the Muslim radicals? Now, here's another issue that came up, 523-1450. And somebody said if there was 10%, and I think it was Bill Mayer, and I better try to find a clip of that here. I think that Bill Mayer said, what is it? What if there was 10% of the Muslim population that was radicalized? Which, according to the numbers, may not be inaccurate. What if 10% of the Muslim population, when it sees an attack, stands up clapping? I mean, that's a lot of people to be radicalized, potentially to go out on an attack. Well, anyway, here's a little comedic break. Ruben Paul, You Only Live Once. And this guy's pretty funny. Kelly O'Connell, 732-523-1450 to call in, and I'll read your text when I come back.
I mean, I like hanging out with my friends sometimes, but sometimes, you know, you have old friends that you grew up with that you just shouldn't hang out with anymore. Pookie's the same guy who tells me, man, you'd never make it in jail. Thank God that's not a goal of mine. It's not on my to-do list. Toilet paper, get locked up. I'd never want to go to jail, man. I'll be the first to. Never. And I'm going to be honest, rape would be a concern. I just don't know if I'm strong enough to rape anybody.
Well, that was brief. 7:33 Kelly O'Connell Show, and appreciate you tuning in today. And so we were going to talk to Shahid, but we can have the conversation without him. Basically, is there, here's the question, is there an element out there of the Muslim population that is peaceful? Yes, there is. We know there is, because the vast majority of these attacks, the vast majority of Muslims are not either radicalized, or they're not making these attacks. Now, it is worth discussing which part of the community would support. Here would be a worthwhile use of polling. Do a massive poll on Islam and do it in various different countries, if we could figure out a way to get in there in some of these places, and find out what percentage of these people support the radicals, support attacking in the name of Allah, feel that any attack on the West is justified. But there's an open question out there. What if it was 1%? 1% of 1.3 billion is a substantial number. Certainly it's more than 1%, but how high is it? And so here is what I'm going to ask, what I asked before. What is the response of America to these home-styled attacks? And, I would think that, and I think that the reason that these, you know, we have gotten a fair number of calls on these shows that we've had on this, is that people realize that there's a problem. There is a problem, and so what are we going to do? Here is the approach of Britain and France to deal with it, to let these people get into the system, get into the country, get into the society, inform their own communities, and then just you know, here's the Muslim community. In France, there are big areas in Paris where Muslims live that are supposedly no-go areas. Now, you have Sharia law. You have these courts that practice a kind of law that we don't even accept. So are we going to have Sharia law here? Aaron asks if we are going to make illegal Sharia law. And the sad thing is, if we don't make it illegal, even though I would say it's arguably illegal under the Constitution, I could see it springing up. There are people who are sympathetic to the president's desire to be play friendly with these individuals. But if there is a percentage of these individuals that are radicalized, can we really do that? 523-1450, and we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 736. Here's a little bit of Sun Volt for you, and we'll be right back, folks. And I come back, I'm going to read your text. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Neil? Leo.
Neil, how's it going?
I think okay. You keep on using the word Sharia law.
Yeah.
What is it?
Sharia law is Muslim law.
No. Explain it. It's biblical. It's also in the Bible.
That Sharia law is in the Bible?
Yes.
Where?
And it talks about God's law.
Chapter and verse.
That Sharia law.
Chapter and verse where the Sharia law is found in the Bible. Hey,
you
Neil.
You have claimed I've heard you. Because
Neil.
Listen, everyone.
Neil.
Yes.
I'm back on in about 2 minutes. Can I put you on hold and we'll talk about this on the air? I think it's interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, if it's in your mind, it's probably in other people's mind.
It would be good to explain because, first of all, it's not even English, but you say you want to talk about it, we'll wait.
Oh, okay. Are you having a good day?
Almost every day, thanks to God.
Hear, hear. Well, I thought we might get some snow last night.
I don't really pay attention to the news weather reports because they're always wrong.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing for a place like this. They do get it wrong pretty often.
Yes.
Is there a faith that you identify with?
Human faith would be the best way to put it because I'm interested in all life.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. And we're just about on here, but I'm glad you called in because sometimes I forget to define what I'm talking about. And we're on in about 10 seconds. It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. It is 7:40, and we've got Neil on the line. And Neil, and hold on 1 second, Neil. We suddenly got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll put you on hold and be right back. Neil, go ahead. You were questioning me about Sharia law off the air.
That's right.
And what was your point?
Well, the main thing is this is a conversation. Know what's happening. That we all should be knowing what's happening, which we don't. But at the same time, why don't we use the English terms when it's applied to English terms? Because, like I told you, in the Bible it talks about God's laws.
Okay.
And also talks about what was going to be happening in the last days because of his enforcement of his laws.
All right. My question to you, Neil, is Sharia law in your mind part of God's law?
What's happening? Read the Bible. You've said you've read the Bible. I've heard you a number of times claim that you've read the Bible. And I've told you a couple of times, especially in the last book of the Bible, it talks a lot about what's going to happen.
Revelations. But what does that do with Sharia law, which is Muslim law?
It's not Muslim law. And explain, you're using a word.
Okay.
Explain what that word means.
Sharia means the path. And it is, if you trace it back to the original Arabic, it means the path to the water. It is Muslim law. It is not the same as law as found in the Bible. And let me just explain for a moment, because I know this is one of your points, but Muslim law is idiosyncratic. It comes out of the Arabic Peninsula, and it's got certain ideas that are not found in the Bible, and such as obviously judicial amputations and that type of thing. But Sharia law, according to Joseph Schacht, who's probably the greatest a scholar on this issue of the last 100 years, he said that Islam is not defined by religion, it's defined by law. And he said that the Sharia is the core and kernel of Islam itself. Now, a theologian would not agree with that for the Bible. They would say that the heart of the New Testament is not the law, it's Jesus. So what's your response?
Okay, and if you've read Jesus, read the Bible,
yeah,
you notice that Jesus is not a law.
Right.
Because in the Bible, if you go to, you don't have to go through all of this, if you go to the books of John, you see that he even claims not to be the law.
Right.
He was sent to verify what the law should be.
Okay.
And that's according to the Bible. Okay, another thing, what is, where it talks about, you should kill the homosexuals, and that's in the Bible.
That's Old Testament.
That conversation with
that's
you.
Old Testament. There are
that's
number,
in
there,
the Bible.
Oh,
he doesn't. He does not separate.
Neil, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You're pointing to Jesus, who's from the New Testament, and you're using him as a standard in some sense. Now, are you saying the Old Testament law still applies? Those 600 and so. Various laws that are found in the Old Testament, they still apply?
What did he say? What does Jesus say in Matthew 5?
He says that he didn't come to destroy the law, but fulfill it.
Okay, and what does that mean? You're a lawyer. You should know what that means.
And from my opinion, the grace, the argument in the New Testament is that the grace and sacrifice of Jesus fulfills the law. And so that's the fulfillment of the law that... stated in by Paul in Romans that no person could satisfy all of the dictates of the law, and so Jesus comes to take the place of the law, but he also fulfills it. That's
which can be agreed. That can be agreed, Kelly. And the thing is, if so, then, for example, who gave the Indians a bunch of blankets with
smallpox
disease on them to eliminate them? Huh?
Well, there is going to be wrongdoing in history. I don't disagree with you.
Okay, but you talk more about like if only the history of the Muslims, the Islam. But for example, here in 1948, we went to Arizona to work oil in the fields, but because of the prejudice there, they wouldn't even sell us food. So. We have a bunch of stuff going on, and like this is a parent that are not from this area because there's a lot of them, and they're more hostile to we Americans, and I consider myself an American of this country.
Yeah.
This country.
I understand. But listen, I've got another call here. What was your main point?
Well, explain the words. So that people won't be
okay.
like Islam means something totally different.
Islam means submission.
Yes, not only that, it also means peace. But anyway,
okay. Thanks for the call, Neil. Anything else?
No, you're answering something else. You've done said no. So catch you on another round.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a great day. Thanks for the call, to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, this is Tom.
Tom, thanks for your patience. What's on your mind?
He might fit in well in the Reverend Wright's church, that man.
Okay. All right.
You know? Another thing is Obama surrounded himself with the Muslims in the White House, advisors to him and whatnot. I believe that he was told not to go over to Paris and join in there by people who surround him.
Well, that's a question. Who makes the decisions for the president? I think it's an open question, and you know, there's conspiracies out there, and there's other people who say that he's always had a minder, and that's something that I guess listeners will have to decide on their own. But it is awfully strange. So many of these decisions seem to go against the traditional American view of the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kelly, I'll let you go on.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Folks, we'll take a break here and be right back. 523-1450. I'm going to read those gosh dang texts when I come back. I promise.
New neighbor. Yep, I see your...
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, my name's Tom.
Tom, what's going on?
How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
I just want to address Neil's misinterpretation of the Bible. He interprets it, but he doesn't understand it.
All right. Hey, 2 minutes and we'll be on the air. I'll put you on hold for 2 minutes. Can you wait?
Well, I can.
Okay, thanks a lot.
When a beloved team in search of a new home turns to an expert team from Goldman Sachs.
It's Kelly here at 750, and I've got Tom, and Tom is going to explain that Neil has got his biblical interpretation wrong. Tom? Thousands of
fans take their hey, Kelly, how are you, bud?
Good, man. Thanks for the call, and I'm interested to hear your interpretation of Neil.
Kelly, the fulfillment of the law is judgment. Once we've been judged guilty, you've got to be punished. Is that not true?
Well, that is my understanding of
true.
Yeah, well, from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, then they were wearing these garments from the animals, and they say that represents the earliest sacrifice, expiation for sin.
That's it. He had judgment. Judgment is the fulfillment of the law. If you're found guilty, we must be judged. God is a good judge.
Yes.
And what Jesus did, he said, I come to fulfill the law, because I'm going to take on that judgment for you. I'm going to be punished for all the sins of the world. And that's what he did. You either receive that as mercy and grace, or you reject it, then you must be judged.
Well,
and
let me ask you this, Tom. Tom, what do you say to people who say, you know, God wrote the Old Testament, he wrote the New Testament. How can you possibly claim that we're not under all of those laws? Why would God make those laws in the Old Testament if we're not meant to be judged by them or live under them?
Those laws didn't come around to Moses long time after people had been around a long time. And even in Genesis, the people had degraded so much. He said, my spirit can only deal with men for so long. For another 120 years, he gave them. That shows God's mercy. And in his mercy, he was saying, look, I'm going to give you a chance to change. And Noah had a ministry for 120 years. Now, you can believe whether you built an ark, get into all of that, right? But
yeah.
That was a story of God's mercy and his grace and his patience on the human race. The human race had degraded so much that he had to destroy them, and that's a merciful act, right? I mean, I teach a Bible study, and I was hunting one day, and I come upon this deer that had his back leg blown off. I shot him. Now, was that a merciful act? It was a merciful act. We as human beings can become so degraded in our sin, in our sin nature, that death is a merciful thing for some of us, all right? Now, that's going to cause a lot of controversy, I'm sure. But Jesus came along, and he said, I'm going to fulfill the law, and I'm going to receive the judgment for the whole human race. I have received that, and I accept that, and that's what makes me free from sin now.
Right, and that's
that doesn't mean I don't sin anymore.
Right.
Because my nature is still alive.
That's the doctrine of expiation, which is one person pays for another's something or other, and in this case, Jesus paying for people's sins. But let me ask you this:
I'm going to
put you on the spot here. You can go into your doctrine of salvation all day long. I want you to answer what a biblical response to Muslim terrorism stateside would be.
My response is this: I'm a Christian. And God comes to me and he says, I'm going to die for you. And the Muslims say that their God says, I want you to die for me so that you can receive 72 virgins in heaven. Can you imagine that? Is there a difference there?
There's a huge
and
difference.
My God comes to me and he says, have mercy on those who persecute.
I understand. There is a huge difference. As a matter of fact, Islam is dominated by law. And the argument is that Christianity is dominated by grace. What is a Christian public policy for these dealing with? I want some sort of a response from you. What would be a Christian public policy for dealing with Islam stateside and also the possibility of continued radical attacks?
The first thing we got to do, Kelly, is we got to put common sense into this. We have to secure our borders. It's going to be a process. It's a long step. There's several steps going to be in this process. First, we got to secure our border. They keep saying, no, that's not what the problem is. Yes, it is the problem. We got to secure our borders. Then we got to take – go ahead.
I said, obviously, that is – how can you have a porous border and deal with an issue that is resulting from an open border and pretend that has nothing to do with it?
It's impossible. You can't. I mean, how can you possibly do this if we got people coming in and out of our country and we know where they come from? Go to the airport and this idea of profiling. What does that mean? I mean, you know what I mean?
Hold on one second. You've called the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll be right back. Yeah,
it's
okay.
A terrible waste of resources.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got another caller. And we're running out of time, and
okay.
I have weird news.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, good morning. It's Jake.
Jake, turn down that radio. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Hey, Kelly, I think the only solution that the only way we can deal with these ISIS and this happening, I think this ISIS coming here is part of God's judgment. But the only way that we are going to deal with this is if everybody turns back to God, back to prayer, back to church, and turns back to God. That's the only way that we're going to stop this. There's a lot of immorality here in this country, and this is, I think, is part of God's judgment
upon
us. The
attack of Islam.
And I think it's the only solution.
Jake, the attack of Islam is the judgment of God. Is, in your opinion, Obama's presidency the judgment of God?
Exactly. God knows he's put every person in, you know, since the beginning of time as a king, you know, or president. And Obama's there for a reason. That's why he's still there and nothing has happened to him. Why'd they shoot Reagan? But they, why haven't they done it? Nothing happened to Obama. God has him there for a reason.
Jake,
and until we turn, he's going to be there and this judgment's going to fall upon
us. Jake, I got to ask this. It seems to be an implication. Is Rosie O'Donnell part of God's plan?
We have a lot of immoral people in this country,
that's what we have to deal with until
we turn back to God.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Anything else? I got to go do some weird news here.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. All right, folks. I guess Rosie O'Donnell is part of God's plan, too. Here we go. Weird news. I've been promising it, and I've got to deliver. Two charged with stealing $18,000 worth of cookies, and an Austin, Texas trailer stolen from Pepperidge Farm Distribution. And two men, and just come on, that's outrageous. $18,000 worth of cookies. I hope they didn't eat them in one setting. This is from the Telegraph. UK: Ugandan fisherman hunts down and kills crocodile that ate his pregnant wife. Mubalak Matambuzi stabbed the animal with a spear, and locals hail him as a hero for slaying the beast that they blame for six other deaths. And his wife, Demeteria Nabwire, who was 8 months pregnant, was devoured early on last Sunday morning on the shores of Lake Kayoga in eastern Uganda. And when her husband, Mubalak Matambuzi, found out about that, he armed himself with a spear and he hunted the dang thing down. Thank goodness. Now, here's another one. Reverend Al Sharpton admits Viagra prescription found in Sandy Rubenstein's apartment is his. And he says, whatever they say I did it more. And but he says, don't try to change this. The argument off of racism. Billboard from white genocide segregation group goes up along highway near Birmingham, Alabama. The message on the billboard, diversity means chasing down the last white person, is connected to a white supremacist group that calls for racial segregation. And sounds pretty shameful. Taco Bell and McDonald's meals look exactly the same 2 years after they're served as the day they were made. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? North Korea claims new liver medicine made at National Zoo. State media says researchers have developed a remedy to combat hepatitis made from bear's gall in a common shrub. They're not referring to George Bush. Sachs claims it has the right to discriminate against transgender employees. And Eric Holder is hitting back saying, oh, no, you didn't. All right, Kelly O'Connell Show, and appreciate you tuning in. I'm going to take you out here with a little Sunvolt Root. Have a great day. We're going to pick up another great show tomorrow, and I'll talk to you in 22 hours. Ciao. And it's